Thanks for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that you enjoyed your time with us, establishing God's kingdom and his glory in your life. For more info, call us on 012-362-1363, email us pretoria@shofaronline.org, browse our website www.shofaronline.org, or like us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.
Anybody else? Awesome. It's so important for us that the, just as we maybe slow down a bit, end of the year, we take time, you know, reflect on what God has done, reflect on his faithfulness. I want to encourage you as family, if you have a moment in this festive season to give thanks, to take time, take turns, you know, around the dinner table, or take turns just to give thanks. And this is what I'm thankful for. This is what I'm really grateful for. This is what God has done. And so I'm just going to share a few thoughts this morning, and then I want us to take some time, actually just to share with each other a little bit, to give praise to God, and then we're going to spend some time to pray. Amen. Good. Let's pray for the word. Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you, Lord. Your word is alive, and it's powerful, Lord, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. In this morning, we have a confidence that your word will come and divide between soul and spirit, between the truth and the lie, that you would come and bring revelation of your word. Holy Spirit, and we thank you that you are our teacher, and we just submit our hearts to you this morning, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that you are the one that leads us into your truth for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Let's look at Psalm 9. I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all the marvelous things you have done. I will be filled with joy because of you. I will sing praises to your name, O Most High. And it goes on in verse 11. Sing praises to the Lord who reigns in Jerusalem. Tell the world about his unforgettable deeds. I was going to look at a few things around praise and what's the importance of praise and the power of praise in our lives. And there's a couple of things just off the bat that, you know, praise is absolute necessity for the life of a believer. And it's not just being positive. It's not just being optimistic about things. It's a posture. It's a lifestyle of us continually fixing our eyes on who God is and what he has done. Amen. And it's a couple of things. There's, you know, it's an outward expression of what's happening on the inside. And if our hearts are devoted to God, if our hearts are, we are wholly following him with everything we got, our hearts are devoted to Christ, then praise is that practical outflow of the devotion of our hearts. Does it make sense? So it's the completion of what's happening on the inside. Hearts have a posture of devotion to Christ, a posture of I'm following with all my life, I'm laying my life down for him. And praise is part of that practical outflow of having a heart devoted to Christ. Amen. James writes famously in James chapter 2, he says that faith without works, faith without action is dead. And this is a connection to that devotion in our heart has to have a practical outflow and a practical expression. And praise is a big part of that, is our practical expression of what's going on the inside. A genuine appreciation for who God is and for what He has done. And it's not always something that we feel like doing, isn't it? It's not always something you get up in the morning, like, yes. But you get those irritating people that are like that from like 4 in the morning. They're like all awake and up and ready, and they're just praising the Lord. We love them to bits. I mean, the morning people. But some of us, it's a struggle. You know, you have to get the flesh awake before you can do that. But it's not something, praising God is not always something that we feel like doing. But often it's a decision. Often it's a conscious decision that we make. Say, you know what? I choose to praise. I choose to give God praise. As we heard just now, because He is worthy, because He is the Lord, but also because physically, because of who He is in my life. Amen? So it's a decision we make, and it's a choice we make to give Him praise and to lift Him up. And I was reminded, just preparing, I was reminded of that moment where Peter, where the Lord, you go and read it in the Gospels, where the Lord calls Peter out of the boat. So Jesus is walking on the water, approaching the disciples. They get all freaked out, and they say, Lord, is it you? And then He says, yes. And then Peter says, if it's you, won't you call me out to yourself? I'm paraphrasing. I'm sure what's one of those things that Peter immediately regretted saying. I think that he had a few of those moments. When the words were out of his mouth, he was like, well, why did I say that? You know? And he goes, and then Jesus tells him to come out on the water, and he steps out, and he actually walks on the water to Christ. Isn't that amazing? So it's not only Jesus that walked on water, right? But then what happens is, the moment when Peter takes his eyes off Jesus and he starts putting his attention on the waves and the wind and the chaos around them, because it was quite stormy, right? That's when he starts to sink. And I was reminded of this, and because what praise does and what thanksgiving does is it puts our eyes on Christ. And amongst everything else that's going on, is a decision where you say, even though there's chaos, even though there's a storm, whatever is going on around me, praise and thanksgiving is a conscious decision to put my focus and my attention, my eyes on Christ. And that's when we don't sink. Hallelujah. Okay, so that's one way we can consciously decide, I'm keeping my focus on Him. I'm not allowing my circumstances and stuff around me to distract me from who God is and the fact that He is worthy of our praise. Amen. Okay, so so praise is a completion of our worship. It's that culmination, it's an expression of what's going on in our heart. And then Psalm 22 verse 3 says a very powerful thing. It says that praise is the dwelling place of God. 22 verse 3 says, yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. And some translations, or it can also, the footnote there says, or it can say, you are holy, dwelling in the praises of Israel. Isn't that a powerful concept? That when we praise, that is, God inhabits that place of our praise. So praise is indeed the gateway to you and I being with Him, being in His presence. In other words, it says that we enter His courts with thanksgiving, and we enter His gates with thanksgiving, His courts with praise. So that is the gateway. Our thanksgiving and our praise is the way we access the presence of God. And He indwells. He comes and dwells with us in our praise. Isn't that a powerful concept? Isn't that something that makes you think, well, I should do that more often? I mean, you know, thinking, well, if that is the gateway to His presence, if that's the gateway to us knowing Him and knowing His tangible presence, knowing Him with us, wow, isn't that something that I want to do all day? Amen? You are enthroned on the praises of Israel, and you're dwelling in the praises of your people. Amen. So that word there means to sit down or to dwell. It's the Hebrew there is yashab, to sit down or to dwell on the praises of your people. And then I'm reminded of David that says, one thing I want and the one thing I will seek is to be in your presence. And the way we get there is through our praise. All right, okay. Praise prepares the way for God's supernatural intervention. Derek Prince, he tells us a couple of stories around this, but Derek Prince is that famous minister of a couple of years ago who I think he's passed away now. But he's started a deliverance ministry in a time where deliverance ministry was not the thing, right? So I think he got a lot of backlash around that, and he makes a joke about this story in Acts 16. You can go and read it. It talks about when Paul cast out the demon out of that servant girl that was having a spirit of divination, and you can read about it. But what happened is that he cast the demon out, and then the people that were using that divination to earn money, they got all upset, and then Paul ended up in prison. I think it was Paul and Barnabas at that point. In any case, and I can imagine, he says, you can imagine them sitting there in this basically high security prison, and he's saying, everything was fine. Why did you go and have to go and cast out demons? You know, why did you do that? Now we are sitting in prison. But the point is, they were not dwelling on that stuff. Go and read that account again. It's so powerful because they were singing hymns and praising God. And that set the stage for God's intervention into this situation. As they were praising, as they were singing hymns, there was an earthquake, right? Not just any random earthquake, an earthquake that broke all their chains, that loosed them right there in the prison. And I want to refer to 2 Chronicles also. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but that's the place where we can go and read it. It's where King Jehoshaphat is facing an overwhelming odds. There's this massive army coming against them, and they realize, wow, there's no way we can take these guys on. They're just too many. And they fast and they pray and they seek God, and the Lord gives them clear directions, and then he makes a decision to put the musicians in front of the army. Remember that story? You're going to read it again. He makes a decision to not send their best troops first, but to send the musicians first. Right? If you were in the band at that point, you know, that might have been a scary moment. But he says, we're going to put all our faith and trust in God. We're going to praise God for what he's about to do. He put the band in the front, and the Lord delivered them really powerful. But again, that praise, that place of obedience and praise and worship positioned them for the salvation of the Lord. But the one I want to read quickly is the one in Jonah chapter 2. Now Jonah, God called Jonah to be a prophet to the city of Nineveh and to go and prophesy and go and minister to them, but he didn't want to, okay? It reminds me of my youngest, Emily. When she was small, she went through a phase where she was the cutest. She's still cute, but she was about 2 or 3, and she still had the little chubby cheeks. They're gone now, but she was the cutest thing, and she had this thing where I used to give her like a very clear instruction, or ask her, you know, Emily, this is what you have to do. You have to tidy your room, X, Y, this, and this, and this. And she'd just look at me with this beautiful smile, and she'll say, no, thank you, Daddy. As if I've offered her something, or if I wanted to, you know. And I was like, you know, how do you not laugh? Or how do you keep a straight face? But in any case, it's like Jonah did something like that. The Lord told him, go to Nineveh, and he just said, no, thank you, and he ran the other way. And he ends up on a ship. There's a massive storm. Long story short, he realizes they're in trouble. They're going to die because of him, because of his disobedience. So he tells the other guys, listen, guys, it's my fault. You need to chuck me overboard. Otherwise, you're all going to die. And they throw him in the water and throw him in the sea. And he gets swallowed up whole by this massive fish. So he's in the belly of the fish for 3 days. And he's obviously now wrestling with God. But what's really powerful, he's wrestling with God and he's praying through a lot of things. And chapter 2, from verse 2, he's you know, praying about his situation, he's praying about all the stuff that's going wrong, and then the shift, the change, the key there that we see this happens when in verse 8 and 9, where he shifts to giving thanks, even in the middle of the chaos, in the middle of the belly of the fish. And this is what he says. He says, those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love, but I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. So even in that place of chaos, even in that place, specifically in that place, in the belly of the fish, you know, in the middle of deep down in the ocean, when we feel like, okay, this is the end, I'm not going to make it out of this situation. Or maybe, you know, you're in a place where you feel like your circumstances have swallowed you up, or life is just against you, stuff isn't going right, stuff isn't going the way you were hoping for. In that moment, the power of deciding, I will bring a sacrifice of praise. I will praise the Lord in the middle of this chaos. He says here, with the voice of thanksgiving will I sacrifice to you. Giving thanks and giving praise. Right there. And then right after that, the word says, the verse 10 says, I don't have it on, it says, and then the fish spat him out. And he could go on with what God called him to do. But maybe that's a word for somebody here this morning. You're in the middle of something hectic, you're in the middle of something that didn't go as you were hoping for. Make a choice. Say, Lord, I will worship you. I will bring a sacrifice of praise. I will give thanks because you are worthy. Amen. Such a powerful key there for us to position ourselves, that for us, it prepares the way. Praise prepares the way for the manifestation of God's salvation. In Psalm 50, verse 23, let me just read it. I didn't put it on there, but I'm going to read it. It says there, the one who offers thanksgiving as a sacrifice, the one who offers thanksgiving as his sacrifice glorifies me. To the one who orders his way rightly, I will show the salvation of God. That praise, that thanksgiving opens up the way for God to show us his salvation, show us the way that he has made, to open the way for the provision that he has already made for us. Amen? Good. So let's quickly, so when is the right time to praise the Lord? All the time. Hallelujah. Amen? There's no time not to praise God. So I want to challenge us in 2026, let's be those irritating people that are always praising the Lord, that are always optimistic, not because of the fact that we're not aware of what's going on, but the fact that we know that our God is good. I mean, that he is faithful, and that there's always a reason to praise the Lord. It's always a reason to give praise. It's always a reason to lift him up in our circumstances. It's always a reason to give thanks for what he has done. Then who gets to praise the Lord? Psalm 49 has got a whole 149. It's got a whole list of people that should be praising the Lord. And then if you, I think it's like 29 different people that he mentions there that should be praising God. And then if you didn't catch it by then, in Psalm 150 verse 6 says there, everything that has breath. So just to kind of make sure, okay, let's just make sure you understand this. Everything that has breath needs to praise the Lord. Amen. So everything alive is to praise God. Now that is powerful, because that means that if you're not praising God, you might be dead. Okay? Might not be physically dead. You might be spiritually dead. So our praise is a sign of our spiritual life. Everything that has breath, everything that's alive is praising God. All right. So always, everybody is praising God. How do we do it? Scripture gives us a lot of instructions about how we should be praising God. It speaks about praising him with our whole heart, with all of our power, strength, you know, my understanding. It speaks about worshiping and praising Him in spirit and truth. Spirit that is referring to there in John chapter 4 talks about our spirit, not the Holy Spirit. It talks about coming from my spirit, and with my spirit is expressing worship, expressing praise unto God. So it's praising Him in spirit and truth, and speaks about praising Him in a way that's authentic and accurate, a way that is expressive. And then we look in the scripture and we see a whole bunch of ways that the scripture says lifting our hands, clapping, making a noise, being, you know, being all expressive. And I know there's some of us here that are thinking, I'm not that kind of an expressive guy, you know. I'm not like the one to kind of jump up and down. But then I want to come to your house and watch the football with you, or the rugby, or whatever the thing is that you get excited about. Because then, if you go to Loftus on a Saturday when things are going well, not always going well, but anyways, let's use the Springboks, okay. Things are going well there, apparently. But so suddenly then, those guys are also getting very expressive. So I want to challenge us that to find expression, to express ourselves in our praise and our worship, because God is worthy. If we can get excited and jump up and clap and, you know, raise our arms and shout at our sports team or something that gets us excited, how much more can we get expressive in our adoration and our praise of the King of Kings? Amen. With our whole heart, hallelujah. And then I want to challenge us, in Revelation 3, Jesus talking to the churches, and he says, if you are hot, that's one thing. If you're cold, that's another thing. But because you are lukewarm, I want to spit you out of my mouth. So he's saying this thing of like in between, it does not please God. This thing of being like half-hearted and, you know, oh, it's there, but it's not really there, it does not please God. So I want to challenge us for 2026. You can even finish 2025 like this. In your praise, in our praise, let's not be lukewarm. Amen? Let's be hot. Let's be passionate in the way that we praise and give thanks. Let's be on fire in the way that we give Him glory, give Him honor, and give Him thanks for what He has done. He is worthy. Amen. I want to take a few moments to spend time in little groups again.
Thanks for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that you enjoyed your time with us, establishing God's kingdom and His glory in your life. For more info, call us on 012-362-1363, email us pretoria@shofaronline.org, browse our website www.shofaronline.org, or like us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.